With another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and we got a run in.
We do. We have a P-anal.
That's right. It's the We Talk Wrestling first ever roundtable P-anal. And yes. How do you spell panel?
I don't know. Lana backwards.
That's right. That's right. We have three
and
people.
That's what you guys get for being from Calgary. You didn't learn literacy yet.
Oh.
Good job.
Wait, we got an American here to make fun of. Let's keep everything in. Anyways, first
I've
only
had good experiences in America. I'll
have you know that I got over 50% in English as a second language in university.
Oh.
The University of Lethbridge, I might add.
That's actually true. You were too busy. You had Mount Empty in the corner.
A lot of drinking.
All right, so Jeff Martin, introduce yourself. Plug your shit.
I'm Jeff Martin. I'm the creator of Heat, Space Age of Pro Wrestling. It's a wrestling webcomic about space wrestlers in the 31st century. The premise is that in the 31st century, wrestling is the most popular blood sport in the galaxy. So the prison system, to make some extra money, turns into wrestling schools, and prisoners can commute their prison sentences by wrestling on prison house shows and then getting signed to major promotions. And the story follows Dick the Bastard as he is imprisoned and then trained by a former galactic champion, Mad Dog Crockett, to try and make his escape. And
Mad Dog Crockett.
Mad Dog Crockett. He's ended up being everyone's favorite character because he's just a bitter old man.
And his name is Mad Dog Crockett.
Now, the prison system turns into wrestling school. At what stage and when is Nathan Jones the champion?
Well, he's been dead for, several thousand year point, so he's not.
How about Aaron Hernandez?
But I'm sure one of his descendants.
Here.
All right. Okay, Steven.
Yes.
Your turn.
That's me. What?
Go Pacers.
Yes, exactly. That's who's playing right now. I said I'm giving my time up to be on this show. You guys should feel so privileged right now.
We're not. It's okay if you leave.
But thank God for Twitter, because that's how I follow all my live sports events. You can follow me on Twitter, at StephenA1181. So there's your shameless plug for that. Catch DailyDDT.com for wrestling news that I might throw up there. I've been following the countdown show on the network and giving my thoughts on that. So that's usually what I'm posting up there.
Excellent. So these are really small posts.
That is excellent
posts,
original programming.
No, I love the original programming.
No, but, yes, so these are really small posts you're putting up then, because you're giving your thoughts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's usually like one word, and then I'm done.
Yeah, I figured. I didn't give you that much credit.
Us Hoosiers don't know how to, articulate a sentence.
It's Hoosiers. You can't even spell it right.
Dugan. It's Dugan. So that's me. Paul Stephen A. 1181.
Oh,
enough about your mom, Addy.
Oh,
Cassidy,
she's hot.
Hey,
what up?
Awesome. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at the Owen Hart fan because I'm more of a website person. I have a website for Owen Hart. You can find at www.inourhearts.com. And that's pretty much what I do most of my time. I also have a website for Seth Rollins. It's believeinrollins.com. So I post a lot of cool stuff on there.
All right.
Do you have fan fiction for Seth Rollins? Not that
Absolutely
I want it.
Not.
Damn it. Not that I want. I'm just hearing that people like that. If it was Roman Reigns, I'd be all about that.
Is this now the most uncomfortable show we've ever done?
Asked Seth Rollins about his fan fiction. I'm sorry. I was just curious.
I've never wished for somebody's internet connection to fail more.
Mine's crapping out now.
All right. Let's talk some wrestling.
Okay.
It's what we do on We Talk Wrestling.
That is true. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the hot off the press business news is that the stock is plummeting. The network deal come in, and it was 1.6, 1.7 times what they were getting
the
before.
Rights fees, you mean? For the
rights
fees,
yes. $160 million for the rights fees.
So we're pretty much dead on what we predicted.
Yeah, I think we said maybe 180 as a peak, but we're not far off.
So yeah, they're looking to lose $45 to $50 million this year is what we're hearing.
Right. So that allows them to work for another 6 billion years.
Yeah. So here, let me read a few quotes here for people.
Okay.
NBC Universal Cable Entertainment and WWE today announced a multi-year strategic partnership for WWE's flagship programming and ratings juggernauts Monday Night Raw for a three-hour block on the USA Network and a top-rated Friday Night SmackDown on Sci-Fi. The two programs are the longest-running weekly episodic entertainment programs on cable TV work, with a combined reach of 10.8 million viewers each week. Also
each work,
work,
yes.
Yeah. The announcement was made today by Paul Triple H Levesque, WWE Executive Vice President of Talent, Live Events, and Creative, if you want to call that creative.
Writing.
From the stage at NBC Universal Cable Entertainment Upfront Presentation. USA Network President Chris McCumber, Sci-Fi President McCumber? Sci-Fi President Dave Howe and I are incredibly pleased to renew this strategic partnership with WWE, said NBC Universal Cable Chairman Bonnie Hammer. In today's TV landscape, live event programming is an extraordinarily valuable asset, and WWE remains the only entertainment franchise that consistently delivers on this on a 52-week-a-year basis. We look forward to bringing WWE's action-packed and unique brand of drama to wide audiences across our cable networks for many years to come. We are proud to continue our long-standing partnership with NBC Universal, given the premier position in the marketplace and vast promotional platforms, said WWE Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Vince McMahon. He's the CEO. Yeah. We're excited about our future as we further the reach and popularity of our live, family-friendly entertainment programming 52 weeks a year.
Family-friendly. They put smiles on people's faces.
And here's a few other notes. Some cryptic notes sent out by the WWE is noted. They did not announce a new contract number specifically, but estimated as television agreements in the U.S., U.K., and Thailand combined will be approximately $200 million.
Yes.
Yeah, they're saying that the TV revenue of about $106 million per year in 2013 would increase to $160 in 2015. So 2014, I don't know where exactly that falls, but that's far below the $280 million they're looking at. And some people had estimated up to $400 million because that's what NASCAR gets. They were instead pushing the network instead of this news. They immediately went to start pushing the network.
Yes.
Trying to deflect from what they were doing here. Noting they will break even on network at 1.3 million to 1.3 million, 1.3 million to 1.4 million steady subscribers worldwide.
Yeah.
They estimate they're going to lose 45 to 52 million this year, but that if they average 2 million to 2.5 million subscribers in 2015, they will be averaging between 57 and 105 million. By the way, if they're averaging 2.5 million, that'll be more like in the 31st century when space heat is happening.
Yes. Yes. I love that because the number that they put out there when they said that if we average 2 to 2.5 million subscribers in 2015, I'm like, well, yeah. Yeah. If your bookers know what the fuck they're doing, someone will watch your program and buy it. If.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know.
All right. We want to throw to the panel?
The P-anal?
The P-anal.
Yes. Let's randomly go. Cassidy, what do you think about the network deal?
I hadn't heard about it until today, actually. Been at work all day, but I think in order to get that many subscribers, they better start getting it out there worldwide, because they're going to start tanking money fast, I think, with just the U.S. subscribers.
Yeah, still the plan for, I guess, the end of this year to go to Europe and up here in Canada, so I don't have to buy that Unblock Us.
Probably at least a third of their... Like a third of their subscribers right now are worldwide. Like, they're saying they're U.S. They're probably worldwide already.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is people are like Mo and I that are pretending.
Yeah.
You know, all, it was weird. All we had to do was say, duh, and they just assumed we were American.
What? Wait, what?
What? Huh? What? Steven, what do you think of the news?
Awesome. I don't know. I fell asleep. We'll talk... Wrestling, right? Or are we talking news?
Wrestling news.
Everything you guys said was right. That's my thoughts.
That's always the correct answer.
That's what I'll go with that for now, then.
And that's all that matters.
Keep that in mind for the future. Use that
I am.
Any thoughts, Jeff, on the television deal?
Yeah, I don't care about their television deal. I don't really care about the network numbers. Their business end stuff. Their business end stuff doesn't really affect me. Their product's still going to be on TV or available somewhere like forever. So
6 billion years.
Yeah. So knowing their business stuff is just kind of boring to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's actually, that's actually a good point. We talk about it, but like most people probably don't give a shit. It's like, yeah. So is Raw going to be on? It is good enough. Like, that's kind of your point, right?
Yeah, that's basically the only part I care about. Is Raw still going to be on? Okay, cool. We're good.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a good point. That's definitely a good point. All right, well, let's move on to Raw. And announced on Raw that my boy D-Brian.
Who?
Is D-Brian. Oh, yeah. He's going to be out for about 6 to 8 weeks with a minor neck injury.
They pushed it as much longer.
Well, I think they didn't really even, I guess they just kind of left it open, you know, but I guess it is supposed to be 6 to 8 weeks to the point where they're talking they probably won't even strip the title from him. He's not even going to miss that must action.
Yeah, we've heard as little as 3 weeks, actually, but they're saying, 6 to 8 weeks is the conservative estimate, and on TV they're kind of pushing it as, possible career ending. This is probably the best thing possible for Daniel Bryan, though. Get him off TV for a few weeks to get him away from... Because nothing's killing him more than their shitty booking, right? So, I mean, that'll be a few weeks where they can't fuck him up, which is not a bad thing.
You might be underestimating the creative's ability to fuck things up. I feel like they could mess him up without him being there even more.
They probably could.
I'm afraid, and I'm serious on this, I'm afraid we're going to get one of those... Daniel Bryan at home with Bella satellite hookups and Kane coming through the front door or window.
Yes.
Oh, I hope he's going to home invade him like 6 times in the next 6 weeks.
Bryan's got a gun.
Bryan's got a gun. That's right.
Do vegans have guns? I don't know. We have to check
on that. He's not a vegan anymore.
Oh, yeah. He likes meat. She likes meat, obviously.
Yeah.
She loves meat. Well, not Sean Stasiak.
Yeah, I was thinking Sean Stasiak. Yeah. Nobody loved him.
Yeah, so what this really means is we're just going to see more of Stephanie and Brie Bella, and that's just
this
scary.
Is leading to a match between those two, isn't it? That's the thing that scares the hell out of me.
I hope.
Like,
so.
How can it not be leading to? As the lone female, speak up here, Cassidy. How can this not be leading? Everything in this angle leads to me that says it has to end in a physical confrontation between Stephanie and Brie.
Buried alive.
Definitely. I think just the looks, every time they show her on TV, Bree's giving her the nasty girl look that we tend to give when we really hate someone's guts. I think they're building towards some type of a match. Not that I really want to see that, but.
I really love Brie Bella's 30% effort shove of Stephanie McMahon when they were loading Brian into an ambulance recently. That was pretty fantastic. The light just sort of dusting of her chest with her fingers to shove her backwards.
Yeah, just that was.
You want to be careful.
I feel like that noise that Addy just made had more effort in it than what Bree actually did.
I think it might. It was kind of like when Seth Rollins delivered that flying knee off the top rope to Hunter and missed him by like a foot and a half. I was like, yeah, somebody just does not want to hurt the boss.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's not like they're known for being temperamental.
Well, what I've been hearing everybody talk about is doing something with Brie getting abducted by Kane. Do we really think that the WWE would pull that trigger? Because I feel like they couldn't.
Kane was accused of fucking a dead woman.
Yeah. No, I meant now, in today's era of it. I mean, they didn't even try the Daniel Bryan getting abducted by the Wyatt family. They gave that thing not even 24 hours.
Kane got abducted by the Wyatt family, and no one spoke of it again.
Yeah, so Daniel Bryan, sorry. Daniel Bryan, yeah. So
yeah, that was awful.
The people who think that something's going to happen with Kane and...
I could see that, but I really think that we're probably going to see... I don't think what we're going to see is a one-on-one match, but I think you're going to see a tag match as some sort of D. Bryan and Kane versus, you know, Stephanie and Brie or maybe Hunter, who knows. I think you'll see something like that. As far as like a kidnap angle, yeah, absolutely. I think they could do that. And
I think that'd be amazing if they turned Brian into Liam Neeson from Taken. That would be
I'll kill you. Yes.
You just have him murdering jobbers, like legitimately just murdering jobbers for like 3 weeks, just in parking lots chasing after Kane.
That would be awesome. But do they
and you
really
know their writers want
their creative team.
They don't want to write a wrestling show. They want to write Brian murdering guys and barking.
But would they get backlash? Would they get any backlash for killing Jinder Mahal?
Don't hinder Jinder. Come on now.
People don't remember Jinder. He still exists. He'll be fine.
That's true. Jinder who? What? Not like Heath Slater, who jobbed to Torito on SmackDown.
At least Heath Slater gets on TV.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it didn't hurt Chavo's career.
It did not hurt Chavo's career at all. Chavo, who no longer coming to Calgary.
Nobody is. They shut down the Hart legacy of wrestling again. Smith Hart had to step down.
Yes. That's
I actually saw Chavo wrestle live last year, the year before. You're missing nothing. He's super boring now.
Oh, don't tell Mo that.
Uh-oh.
Chavo's going to be the next TNA champion.
He got through two amigos, and then I think he just got tired and let Harry Smith fall on him.
Yeah. He's Mexican, right?
What do you say?
Texan.
I was just asking.
Oh, he likes his siesta in the ring.
Siesta, see, that's what it is.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The five siesta shuffle.
Is that just like he takes five naps in between? Like, so the guy just lays there the entire time looking over to see if he woke up?
You know what? I can't really complain about that because if I was a wrestler, that would also be my gimmick.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then the man that demands five naps.
The man who demands the five naps. Then the five meals. And five more naps.
Just five meals? That's it?
Well,
Ryback has you beat. Man.
Yeah, that's true. Feed him more.
I actually was thoroughly Ryback.
He'd be cheaper. He only wants five meals.
I was thoroughly entertained by Ryback's on Raw.
Ryback has... I hate that Ryback has some personality. They just won't let him show it.
Yeah. When he's leaving the ring and he's like, big guy out. Goes out of the ring. But they're doing the what do you call it? The rock, paper, scissors that Ryback fucked up. And the coin toss. That was great.
What's really scary is that's probably our most legit tag team right now, next to the Usos.
Yeah, this tag team division has lost a lot of steam though. I mean, looks like the Usos are going to work pretty soon here with Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
That's the only tag. Do you think they'd bring up that Ascension team then sooner rather than later?
Well, I hope so, because then they can end that Ascension gimmick sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's.
That's
you mean
true.
The Eliminators?
Yeah.
That's every time I see them on the network, I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Especially now, yeah. No, tag team action, cold and light here in the World Wrestling Federation.
Hey, at least the Rhodes brothers are still together.
For a week or two.
For the next couple weeks, yeah, until they have their big network show blow.
Hey, seriously, like 4 months ago, there was a lot of excitement. I was getting excited about what they had going on in the tag team division. All of a sudden you turn around and, yeah, I mean, it's like there's no teams left and certainly no fresh matches.
Well, they did that a couple of years ago, too, when we looked, and they had that tag team tournament that actually had brackets with the Rhodes Scholars when they were pushing them. And then all of a sudden, it just seemed to – they broke these guys up, and they broke this team up, and then it just fizzled. And then they kind of brought some semblance of it back together for a bit, and now here we are. I mean, it's not going to take
the teams
much
that aren't going to break up, like the 3MB and El Matadors, nobody wants to see, right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, you're going to have a few teams there, but – nobody wants to see that. I mean, anybody you'd have any interest in.
I kind of wish they would just use El Torito as just a regular guy. Like, they don't need the Matadors with him. Unless they bring him on as managers, that'd be fine. Just have El Torito wrestle regular-sized dudes all the time. And I would be totally on board with that.
He's good. I mean, but the thing is, the El Matadors, both of them are good, too. And you wouldn't know because the gimmick is the shits, right? Right, Cassidy? Say something.
I wish that 3MB would have been faces all along, because I think
Cassidy's
you said talk whenever, I'm talking whenever. 3MB should have been a face group from the beginning. I think that would have helped them, maybe, but
3MB shouldn't be on the main roster. I'm just gonna throw
that. Come on now.
Slater is amazing at getting his ass kicked, but, like, he has a job for life just because he's so good at getting beat up.
Well, you ever heard tell Jeff, I'm sure he wouldn't have heard this one. When we saw him here almost 2 years ago now, SmackDown, what happened?
When he beat, who did he fight? He fought,
Sin Cara and Unico, who fucked up the first time. So three times they had the match.
They was SmackDown, so they just came out and taped spots like three different times that they fucked up. And as he was leaving, he must not have won. But standing right at the aisle, and he just yells out, "I'm fucking money."
There you go. See, yeah.
Last time I was at a live Raw, Heath Slater wrestled Sheamus on Superstars, and the finish was him coming off the top rope for like an axe handle or something, and Sheamus just bro kicked him square in the dick, and it was the best thing I've ever seen.
Nice.
His body morphed like a cartoon. Like, his pelvis shoots backwards, and the top of his body just folds over, and he's lying on the ground like he's dead.
And that spot was made for a particular woman in Georgia. Right there.
And I like that Addy, before 3MB ever happened, suggested Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal team up and become Ginger Mahal. So I thought that was...
Oh, that was there you go.
Yeah,
so then they just added Drew McIntyre. I mean, it's too bad. He's
too late now
and all this. He's way too late now. But he was the one that kind of had the potential of the three, I thought, to go out on his own.
Still does, but the problem is they brought him in. They gave him a big push. He didn't get over right away, you know, and the problem is his offense never looked good.
No, the problem is his wife beat him up.
Well, that didn't help.
That was what Vince saw, and that's why he stopped the push, right? So it's just kind of like Langston now, you know, the guy who's now in that mid-card for life mode.
Yeah,
that they
Kofi.
Had some, like Kofi, like Dolph, like all these guys. It's just now you can throw Langston's or Rusev's newest opponent, Langston, into the mix, and it's just like they'll just toil in mediocrity. And
when is JTG coming back to face Rusev?
You know, that's the next guy, isn't it?
It's Titus O'Neil. He needs his push.
There's somebody I think that they obviously missed the boat on. Like Titus, I think he's got a I know he's an older guy, and that's what they don't like about him. That he's he played football for a long time, so he really got a late start to business. And by the time he actually developed into being good, but he's got a good look. He's charismatic. He's a really good talker. I mean, he's a passable worker, but he's a really good athlete.
But anybody will tell you, and Cassidy knows this, is that anybody that raises horses will tell you that horses are better at the end of their life.
Oh gosh, they could for sure stick him in a few more matches and push him a little bit more over someone like Santino, for example. Santino's does the same pointless crap over and over again, and here you're missing someone who actually has charisma.
Don't worry.
The writers really like Santino's pointless crap. Like, Vince McMahon loves Santino's pointless crap.
Adam Rose will just fill that in for us. Don't worry.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that it stopped making us laugh 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 6 years ago,
yeah,
it doesn't mean anything as long as it's still making Vince laugh.
And it's, I mean, the big thing with Santino is that he sells those sock puppets to kids.
Yeah.
You know, and people buy the Cobras, and that's why he's employed. You know, but I mean, if I have to watch Santino fight Fandango one more fucking time, I'm going to pull my eyes out.
Hey, you saw Fandango and Ziggler this week, so it's okay, right?
Oh, yeah. That relates me back to my tweet that I put out when that was happening. Fandango loves Layla. Who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm. I don't know where that's even.
That's their every few months they attempt to make Fandango a real character with like something behind him, and then they give up next week. So don't worry, we won't have to see that again.
I really think Adam Rose is gonna fail big time. I don't think he's gonna fail big time.
I think he's gonna be just like Santino and just like 3MB and these guys. Like this is what I always thought he would be.
You already have too many of those guys though. I mean, you've just named too many of those guys, so how can you keep pushing them out there?
You have Main Event, you have Superstars, you have SmackDown, you have 3 hours of Raw.
Totally.
And we use the same people on every show, so anymore doesn't matter. Unfortunately.
I think Rose will stick around for a while, but they're going to drop his entourage.
Well, that'll happen.
That's going to be
expensive.
If you could do something to enhance the character, then sure, but that's what we say with everybody. So.
Is there any truth to the rumor that it's Paul London in the bunny costume?
That's it. That's Zack Ryder.
Yes, there you go. But that's it. I mean, the only reason I don't think they get rid of his entourage yet is because the bunny is over.
They won't get rid of his entourage yet, but
they just dress up people
now, they're going to drop it. It'll be like Del Rio's car. It's too expensive.
JTG's out there.
Well, you know, it was that JoJo from that Total Divas was apparently some of the entourage of them. So they can find, and I noticed the one guy that was in the Gladiator outfit is an NXT guy, because he was in one of the, Sylvester LaFour when he was looking for a new act or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
The guy that's in the Gladiator costume was one of the guys that auditioned.
Who was Captain Canuck or Captain Comic or whatever?
I thought it was Jeff.
Oh.
No. Yeah, no, they didn't call me for that one. I was very disappointed.
I would be disappointed. I assumed it was Mo, and then I saw the costume. So. It was not.
Next topic.
Next topic.
We've had a topic.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about Fandango.
Let's talk about Daniel Bryan's neck thing.
Okay, how I see Daniel Bryan coming back, and they better get rid of Kane, but when Daniel Bryan comes back, he's rehabbing the neck, his neck is sore, but he's ready to compete, and bang, he gets brogue kicked. He gets his head kicked right off him. And that sets up your new...
That's what you would do, or you think that's where they're going?
A little bit of both. I don't know if they're going to go to it right away, but I see it soon. I see it for SummerSlam at this point.
Really?
Yeah. What else you got?
That's the thing right from the beginning, right? You got nothing with this guy. You got nothing at all. Like, no opponent set up. I mean, obviously, you're going to have the Buried Alive match. Still going to happen.
Yeah, but that's our Guardian of the Galaxy's fault there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big Dave and his small penis didn't want to lose to Daniel Bryan. Right?
I'm just waiting for...
What's wrong with guys with small penises?
Nothing. You're very nice, Mo. But I think that Daniel Bryan needed to fight Orton. He needed to fight Batista, and then he needed to culminate it with Hunter. Like, he was the guy to bust through Evolution. And while they got – instead, they had this Shield idea, which was fine for a one-off to get them that rub. But then, like – an elongated program.
I never saw that. That shouldn't have been a one-off. No, I disagree with that. I mean, that was always – that's always a feud that – I mean, the fact that it was probably only going to happen twice here now isn't even good. Like, that should have been – that's – I don't have a problem with that feud going on a while and it you know, looking like an actual feud. My problem is the same scene, the same guys month after month after month. Like, it means people should be able to feud over a period of time, but not necessarily always face the same guy, come back to it, build to it, build to that final match over the course of it. I mean, it's nothing worse. How many times have we seen, forget about John Cena against Bray Wyatt, John Cena against Eric Rowan now, and Luke Harper. We're going to see him against Luke Harper again here on Monday, what they're scheduling. Like, that's the problem.
John Cena?
Well, yeah, he's part of it.
But I look at the fact that I don't have a problem with Evolution against the Shield. If you had some, like, they're missing is like one or two guys on the heel side that can go with Bryan, because Kane ain't it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have any credible heel depth. So
they don't have any credible top stars jobbing at all, Jeff. Like, it's not just heels. You don't have Daniel Bryan that gets hurt. You have John Cena. Like, you don't have any credible top, like, not just heels. It's just so many of their guard at all.
So much of their credible top guys now got put into the Shield Evolution feud. So now you've got six guys that you can't do anything with. Yeah. In the Wyatt Family John Cena feud, here's four guys that now you can't do anything with. And then they've spent so much time making their mid-card just no threats to anybody that now you're seeing, oh, look, like, we can't just all of a sudden make Kofi Kingston matter because we've spent 5 years making him an afterthought. Yeah. So they don't have guys that they can just
rock. Wait. TNA has Eric Young, so fuck you. There's proof that's not true.
What's TNA again?
I don't know. Nobody knows.
Oh, fuck. You know, but you're right. I mean, that's what it is. You fuck over your mid-card and have this glass ceiling, and then even when some guys, in the cases of Dolph Ziggler, go into it, you know, start to punk their head through, they get stepped down and they're back in the mid card. So, like, even Sheamus is a U.S. champion right now. I mean,
again, though, they gave up on people so quickly, right? I mean, I was thinking about this as Daniel Bryan. Yeah, okay, everybody's complaining about how he's losing momentum and the booking is bad. You know what? Alberto Del Rio got the championship. They really wanted to go with him. He had really shitty booking. You know, CM Punk had shitty booking. He managed to get over despite it to a large degree.
Yes.
John Cena's had shitty. Triple H has had shitty booking.
I was about to say Hunter had the shitty booking.
Like, everybody's, like, it's not unique to him. Like, as soon as they have to pay attention to you, less likely they're going to do something good because they're not that good at their job.
Well, I got three words for you, too. Caribbean Stramash. Like, Steve Austin had to put up with a lot of shit on his way, too. The Macho Man saying, "Where the cream rises to the cream of the crop rises to the top." That's always happened in wrestling, but there's been
always been almost despite them, usually.
Yeah, but they're usually
there's a few guys like Goldberg or whatever like that they used properly and built properly and made a star to. But usually the guys rise despite the booking.
But the difference is once they figure it out. That this guy, they go with it. And like, in the last couple, they never went with Punk.
No.
They never went with Bryan.
No. Stephen Punk was on top for how long before he actually main evented a pay-per-view? Like, he had the belt for how long before he main evented a pay-per-view?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference. That's what they're missing right now.
Cassidy, jump in. You want to say something about CM Punk, right?
And Daniel Bryan.
Oh, no. CM Punk, I have no interest in seeing on the top again. I think they need to spend some time, like you say, building actual people to face their champions, and then they might have some more success with their booking, but they can't do that because they've destroyed all the decent talent.
Well, they destroyed the decent talent because they got to fill so many hours of air. And again, like I say, if you're going to have somebody wrestle somebody five times, one's going to win three, the other's going to win two. The guy who won it the third time doesn't come over as a really big star. He just came over as the guy who won one more, and everybody's just at the same level. Like, everybody just kind of sits there at that same level. Nobody rises because you're always having everybody win this equal amount, and you have to keep on throwing them against each other. Like, these mid-card acts, like, you see them against each other a billion times. I mean, Adam says, He says, fucking Adi. He says that...
That's okay.
He says that, you know, Sheamus kicks off his head, Daniel Bryan's head, and I'm like, yeah, great. So how many times have I seen those guys wrestle each other already?
Yeah, I know.
In that instance, they haven't wrestled each other in a long time. So there is some separation from that.
But to me, I don't care.
Well, but there's a bit of a if you tell the story, you can tell the story that I won the match in 37 seconds.
I know.
And you're the star? What the fuck?
No, from a logical, from a character point of view, sure. As far as actually watching them wrestle again and again, because I know it's not going to be once. If it was to one match, I can handle that.
That's
it's going to be about 5 or 6 times, and I've already seen them wrestle about, I think, 8 times or so.
Yeah. Do the match, then SummerSlam, blow off the feud at TLC, probably, right?
Well, we're just waiting for Brock Lesnar to come back and take the titles then. That's what we're waiting for.
No, he's not going to get the titles.
No, oh, Cesaro. Yeah. He's got Cesaro. And that's the guy, actually. That's the depth guy that I'm missing right now. There's a heel.
When you say Sheamus, I'm thinking Cesaro's the guy I want to see, but it's too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way too early. Yeah.
It's too early to put him in that spot. Because then all of a sudden he wouldn't get the belt, or he does get the belt. More likely he wouldn't get the belt. Then you've hurt him.
Not his liver spot. Not his dog spot.
Dog spots. My dog's about to start chewing her bone, so you guys will hear all that.
Oh, good.
Steven, you know about chewing a bone.
I'm chewing a bone right now.
See?
What?
Huh?
I do think Lesnar's getting the title this year. I'm calling it right now. Yep.
2014, eh?
At SummerSlam.
The fest.
He can't defend the belt. He'll defend it. What are they going to say? He got a neck injury.
All he's
got to
do is defend it one time, and then somebody beats him for it, and then that guy looks even bigger because they beat the guy that beat the streak.
But then to keep it going, Kane then kidnaps Sable.
Exactly. If you tell Lesnar he can get the title, you can make him work more dates.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. You can't.
Brock Lesnar is not like you and me and anybody else.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
He wasn't willing to go. The rumor is that he wasn't willing to go. Undertaker always practices his matches. That's why he's so good. He sits there and works with the guys a couple weeks ahead of time, going move by move. Brock Lesnar wasn't willing to go down away from his cabin in the woods in Minnesota to go down and practice with the Undertaker for the WrestleMania match.
Yeah, yep. I know.
Money talks.
He would go and
doesn't talk.
No, it doesn't. Not to Brock Lesnar. He's got enough money. He just wants his simple life so he can go hunting and sit in his cabin with his wife and his kids. That's all he really wants. And he comes out and he does it because he enjoys it every once in a while. But
because it is a little bit of money, but it's not enough to.
By the way, you said Undertaker. Yeah, he does. The last few years, we're talking about how the matches have been so good. So he comes down and he practices those matches with his opponents. Man, that DDP is a shitty worker.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's why he was pissed at DDP when he
because he wanted to practice the
matches. He wanted to practice matches, and Taker said that's stupid.
Yeah,
I love it, but I love irony. Actually, is what I enjoy.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at.
I love pizza.
Lesnar. I don't know. I couldn't put it. I couldn't put there. I couldn't put the belt on him. If you're going to do it, this is where it makes sense. And sorry, guys, I'm going to mention the business of wrestling for a second.
Well, you go
6 month subscription, right? Mm-hmm. Started in February. Started and people are subscribing for. They added all these subscribers for WrestleMania. And during that push, that first 2 months, so what they need to do is peak when those subscribers are going to expire, SummerSlam, Night of Champions, exactly, and that's when you put that match on to re-entice anybody that's thinking about canceling the network, because that's what they're most important. That's what they're most concerned with right now.
Yeah, yeah. Pete, if they don't have that large, maintain that large subscription base and grow it, then they really are, especially after what's come up with the TV deal here, they really are fucked. So maybe that's how, in many ways you could argue you using Lesnar and his dates up in order to try and push people staying at that network is actually more important than WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, because if you're going to want to get 2.5 million next year, that's how you do it. No.
You're still not going to get 2.5 million.
I do not.
You guys hear my dog there?
Yes.
I don't know whether to call you Samu or Fatu because I'm looking at here and your head is shrunk.
I feel like Fatu is the more obvious joke.
Which?
Fatu
is the more obvious joke.
Fatu, yes. But Mo doesn't really make a difference. So. Speaking of Fatu, Rikishi is now one of the guys that is under strong consideration for the Hall of Fame next year. Rikishi and Mickey James.
Yeah, Mickey James, I love that. Mickey James is 34. I think she'll be 35 by then. Wow. So, I mean, she's like 2 years younger than – 2-3 years younger than Layla.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a year older than Oksana, but she's a Hall of Famer. You know, yes, she's still got – the thing is she's still got a run left in her at that age. I know she's about to become a parent. And like I say, the rumor is she's worth the second most money of any – diva who's ever worked, that she's worth $4 million, whereas Tori Wilson's worth about 10. Yeah. Trish Stratus worth about 3.5, they say. But I doubt that. I don't see how she could be worth that much money. She wasn't there during the peak, and she worked for TNA, and they say that's a positive. But it's TNA.
No, it's not. But, I mean, if you're talking about the worth, I mean, so she just – she also came in an era where they were getting – they still were getting some pretty good paychecks, and they were still just – if you were smart, you were realizing that it wasn't going to – that the cliff was about to fall off. And so I think she saved her money, and that's all it is. It's not that she made more than these people, but she it's not what you make. It's what you save. She saved. And that's – I could see it. I could see it.
$4 million worth? No.
Well, how much did she make?
Not that much. If she ever made more than...
She obviously did, if she has it.
Well, but that's the rumor. I think that's just a bad rumor. Like, if she ever made more than $2.5 million...
Why did you bring it up if it's a bad rumor?
I'm just saying. I mean, people say that she does... If there's
I'm a
rumor,
broadcast journalist.
If there's a reason... I'm a broadcast journalist, number one. That's why I brought it up. Mm-hmm. Number two, because if she's people are thinking she's not going to come back and have another run, that would be why, because she's already got enough money between us. She made money apparently from her music or whatever, which I also think doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so then that we know it's a bullshit rumor now.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think she's got to have one more. I think she at 34, she should have a run left in her. I don't know. I mean, she's, like I say, if you look at the age, she's not, I mean, and Natty's about the same age, just a couple years younger. Yeah. Like, you know, it's the Bella twins are only like a couple years younger, you know? So, I mean, as far as age, she's not so old that she's used up and done. We lose Steven. I think I got to invite him back in. Do we even want to? Okay. I'm going to decline. I have to group call. All right.
Oh, fine. We'll...
Remember when I said I was going to really look forward
to back.
Your internet kicking out?
Yeah.
Best
that
part
was
of
me.
The show.
Sorry.
We know. We assumed.
It was the Hoosier and me.
Yes.
Screwed it up.
Who?
I know Hoosier. That they want to put a female into the Hall of Fame. Cassidy, rumor has it you're a female. What do you think of Mickie James going in the Hall of Fame?
I think she should, like, she could come back in, have a few good runs with some of those girls rather than some of the feuds they've got going on right now. I think it's a little bit too soon. I think, like you said, she's about to become a mom from what I hear, but I think she could, like, have some amazing matches still, and if they don't want to put her into the Hall of Fame before she has retired, then... I think it's a little bit soon, but I would love to see her there eventually. She's
theoretically,
definitely talented.
Theoretically, her versus Natty, her versus Paige, and her versus AJ are better matches than we've been getting from the WWE Women's Division, Divas Division for a hell of a long time.
I mean, Summer Rae, forget Eva Marie, and, you know, bring in someone like that and actually use the girls that matter to the fans, and maybe you'd get somewhere with that division. So,
Are you saying you're not interested on how this Alicia Fox angle turns out?
No, not one bit. I'm sorry. Not one bit. I'd rather see Paige versus Natty because they've had some really good matches together. I'd rather see them put Natalia up there again because she's been pushed to the side by the Bella twins, by Paige now. I think she should be in a running for the title.
Bree's gotten a lot better, largely because she's working on it. Largely, yeah. I think, because of Daniel Bryan. Yeah. Nikki hasn't got better, largely because of John Cena.
Yeah.
Let's make fun of Natalia again in another angle where we're going to make fun of her. I love
that's
that.
That's what we're doing now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it looks like it almost looks
better
like...
than when she had gas.
Yeah, very much. It also looks like a heel turn for Natty, though, which could put her against Paige. So I mean that's good. That's a good role for Natty to be right now on the it really looks like in NXT most of the people outside of they want to push Charlotte, but he's going to be in there for a while.
Yeah, he needs a couple more years to develop before he's ready to come up and compete in the Divas division in the ring, at least one more year.
Yeah, but...
And that guy's got great physical talent, you know? He's a big guy for a woman, and...
But I still think that anybody that they're seriously looking at bringing up and developing from NXT right now is on that babyface side. So if you have Natty as a heel, then she can be that, you know, the general that's going
to... The fact they stripped Paige of the belt and they had to have this tournament in NXT for the next NXT Women's Champion really pointed out to me just how poor the Divas roster is as far as developmental system. Because, I mean, you had to bring all the people back from the WWE, you know, because it's okay for a WWE person to hold the belt as long as it isn't Paige.
Yes.
But
they're going to be touring, and you're going to be around the world. You're not going to be able to give the NXT Women's Championship the attention it needs. Natty, on the other hand, she never gets asked to go on the tours. Let's put her in the tournament.
Yes, stupid.
Yeah.
All the roster spots on that tournament, except for, like, what, two or three of them, were all main roster girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And have
Which really
seen,
shows that they don't have anybody.
Have we seen Alexis Bliss?
She debuted in the tournament, but I haven't seen that match.
Alexis Bliss is proof that Aurora Rose is on the booking team.
Yes, yes. Triple H and Stephanie's daughter obviously wants to be a princess and has booked and created a princess personality.
Yes, Alexis Bliss is the Disney princess wrestler. That's her gimmick. Have you guys seen her?
I need to go back and watch her now, I guess.
Yeah. She debuted in the tournament last week and that's what it is. There's sparkles and she's a Disney princess. That's her gimmick.
And pretty much that Sasha Banks is just a Layla ripoff, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah. And the one thing about Sasha Banks is she's 21 and Layla is 37.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so...
But her and that...
But she is. She's very much... I don't think
her
she's...
Her and Charlotte are doing the flawless gimmick, essentially.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of course, yeah.
But
they're doing the...
Summer Rae. Summer Rae, by the way, is 30 already.
Is she?
So,
oh, fuck, really?
She's
30,
old.
31.
She's done.
Cut her.
Yeah.
But I think that Summer Rae actually looks to be someone that I think is going to – like Summer Rae to me would be the one that beats Paige at this point with the Marine – when she gets back from the Marine.
The problem with that is it looks like Summer Rae is going to have a turn – it looks like there's a strong chance she turns babyface to take on Layla, right?
That's true.
They're booking that angle when she comes back from shooting this movie.
That's right.
That the angle is, you know, that Fandango loves Layla and he never said that to Summer.
Yes.
So you're going to get, yeah.
Yeah.
So she comes with Dolph Ziggler.
That's not an impossibility, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, she, yeah, I don't
There's
know.
Dolph Ziggler's try to get back to relevancy.
How's that now?
I still say I've said it before, and I think we've seen it. We saw the loss in momentum of Daniel Bryan here. I believe by this time next year or before this, the crowd will be behind Dolph Ziggler as the guy they're picking who always gets screwed. Who they're, you know, and Daniel Bryan will be, you know, because they really wanted the chase more than the actual win.
I don't think they're going to put, but I mean, as long as Dolph Ziggler is in spots with Fandango and Magneto. I mean, what?
You're forgetting where Daniel Bryan was about a year ago. It wasn't really much above that.
Hey.
He was a team.
Oh, no.
Who are you to doubt Dr. Shelby?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We need to bring him back.
The crowd, I believe, is going to create at some point a wave of momentum behind Dolph Ziggler.
I don't think he'll be
their new person. They want the chase, but they don't really want the title. Though then again, in some ways, I think he'd be a better champion if he ever got the push and they got the crowd behind him. Then
Dolph Ziggler was the crowd's favorite for a while.
I know.
And then he got a concussion, and now no one cares that he's a – like, I legitimately forget on a regular basis that he's still on the roster.
So does
Dolph.
Because
they don't do anything with him.
So does Dolph.
But that's the concussion syndrome.
Damn Jack Swagger.
Now, that's the other thing about Daniel Bryan is that there is some internal worry, even though they're only saying that he could be gone a few weeks, there's some worry that legitimately the style he's had, and he wouldn't have had this success, wouldn't be champion without this style, but that he might not have the long career. I mean, we've seen guys have that neck surgery and they're still going. Like Kurt Angle's like 44 and he's still going. I mean, he had a broken fucking neck twice, and wrestled a match at WrestleMania and main event and won. But
drove into a snowbank in August.
And won a gold medal.
With one, and everything. So, but legitimately, I mean, there is some fear among them, and considering how few top guys they have and how he's emerged and how CM Punk has already left, there is some fear that he might not – who knows how long he'll be around. It could be like Edge. Could be cut way short.
Well, but Brian's just going to come back and modify his offense. He's if he drops the suicide dive and the diving headbutt, like, all of a sudden his offense is –
I don't know that he can.
But all of a sudden it's a lot safer for him.
Yeah, exactly. I think you could still – I mean, you could do that running knee. He's got the yes lock. You know,
Shawn Michaels modified his offense and actually in many ways became a better worker.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think his instincts to get that crowd reaction are so strong. I wonder.
You might be right, though. To get the crowd reaction, all he has to do is point his two fingers towards the sky and raise his arms.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does to get the crowd reaction now. So he can certainly modify his style. Will he? I don't know. But
all right.
Speaking of TNA, looks like Kurt. We just talked about Kurt Angle. We talked about how his days are pretty much done. Now there's talk about him. WWE's willing to talk to him.
I figure they will.
Yeah, so
that's good. Like I say, I'd like to see just a couple matches and then a Hall of Fame thing. He could headline the Hall of Fame next year.
If The Rock does it.
I think Goldberg will.
Yeah, Goldberg is another chance. Goldberg. Yeah.
Sting.
Sting, that's another name. That's true. They actually, so who all shows of a sudden up, they got headliners.
Who shows up first, Sting or Kurt Angle? Let's throw that. How about that? There's my
Well, Sting's already in the family is the thing, but Sting is not – I mean, they're – I mean, it does look like a Legends deal. I mean, we're looking at, merchandising. We're looking definitely at a DVD. But we don't know for sure if, I've never heard that there's actually any plans to have him in a match. I don't know if he's going to have a match. He may never have a – I don't think he ever needs a match. And if he does, it would be a tag match. It had to be something special. Maybe that's how you get people to resubscribe to the network.
Sting? Yeah, that could be. That could be. What they'd need to do is they'd have to see, and they can do this in their own internal systems, is what are people watching on the network? And if
Legends House?
Yeah.
Legends House.
Well, that's a Legends House. We'll put Sting in Legends House then. I mean, if you are going to, if a lot of people are looking at Clash of the Champions or Bash at the Beach or whatever, right? If that's because they know how many clicks things are getting. If those are the things people are clicking, yeah, then Sting's gonna help you get guys to re-up on that network. But if everybody's going back to In Your House or Monday Night Raw or watching the current stuff, then maybe Sting's a non-factor in terms of resubscribing.
It helps that they just put in the Clash of Champions, though.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I can't wait for the Saturday Night Main Events are going to be next.
Did they say that's going to be next?
That's going to be the next big ad.
That's
going to be great. All right. We got anything else we want to talk here? We want to actually throw it to the three guests' topics.
Do you care that Hernandez is gone from TNA?
Next.
So Steven, let's go with your topic first.
Oh, that was my topic. Sting. That's a topic, right?
Well, it's your topic, so you tell us.
That is my topic, Sting. Does he show up in WWE?
I think the police do.
Well, now I'd be down for that. Why didn't they show up at WrestleMania?
It's true. Wasn't that who was singing Bray Wyatt's theme song?
I don't know what the fuck that was. It was some guy with a big mask.
That was awesome.
That was cool. May become my Halloween costume.
It was better than Rev Theory.
I'm going to go with Kink on Bundy.
Was better than Orton's theme, I will say that much.
So you're going to lose weight?
Or how about this? What is holding Sting back? Because wouldn't it just seem like he would have signed
he's
by 54. Now?
He's 54!
Well, I mean, he just signs and just shows up.
Sting has to take some medication to remember what he did in the morning.
There you go.
another thing about Sting is he would have money even if he wasn't wrestling because
he's real estate Steve.
Yeah, he's really like he's a successful real estate agent. Yeah. Very successful commercial real estate agent.
But the final thing to his wrestling career is obviously stepping foot in a WWE ring. Right?
I think it's possible, but I don't know that his career – I don't know that he's again thinking to himself, oh, this will bring it full circle. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that he is the type of personality that thinks that he's missing anything from his career. I mean, I think he needs to – I mean, just being at the Hall of Fame may be enough for him to go, that's the whatever. Because, you know, he's already headlined one Hall of Fame, a huge one in TNA.
Yeah. And,
you know, this would be at almost the same level.
Mm-hmm. You know what would be great is if he goes into the WWE Hall of Fame and Christian inducts him.
That'd be awesome.
But I think, yeah, do you need Sting to wrestle a match?
I don't know. I don't think you do.
Well, no, but why not?
Well, but
got him there anyway.
The problem is Sting.
Who's the right guy? Let's put it this way instead. I will throw this to the other two panelists. Well, you two think of this. Because Undertaker, let's throw Undertaker's out. He's not a possibility. Who's the right guy then for him to have one match with? Because I'm thinking it's got to be a match people would want to see. It's got to be exciting, a good match, but it's only got to go about 8 minutes. So who's the right guy?
I think a Sting Bray Wyatt program could be really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think Bray Wyatt has enough that he can make that 8 minutes with Sting. He can make Sting look good, but he can also keep the match entertaining. And I think just as a program, I think that would be really interesting to see those two characters interacting.
I like that.
That's a good WrestleMania match. You know.
I do.
But
I
it's
like
a nice undercard WrestleMania match too. It doesn't have to be competing in one of those like top three or four matches. You can stick that in the middle of the card, keep people's interest, and the match itself will probably be passable to good.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that's good. I think probably Sting is popular enough that it won't be an issue or there'll be enough anticipation. But the crowd could turn on Sting and cheer Bray. I think that'd be the last thing they'd want. That's the only thing I can see as a negative. Other than that, I really like it. What do you think, Cassidy?
Well, I haven't watched TNA in several years now, but
because you're smart,
I
like everybody else.
Well, that and I don't support anything Vince Russo is on, but I can't think of anything any particular match that I'd be really interested in seeing Sting in, to be honest.
Would you like to call? I'm just wondering, Addie, what do you think here? Maybe Cassidy would like to call Vince Russo something, and it starts with a C.
Do you think you want to call Vince Russo a cunt?
Do you want? Is that what you want to say?
No.
No. Oh. Because I do.
Ego. Yeah.
But I'm with you, though, is that I can't think of an opponent for Sting. I can't. It was, to me, it was
like
Taker. And it's, I mean, that's a good one. To me, it's like, there's no, like, when you take Taker out of the equation, there's no guy that is like, cause the problem you get with Bray again is just that the way that they do things is, are they gonna put Bray over? Cause they have to. Right? Cause to me, it loses everything.
Would Sting come, you know what? That's one thing that's a problem. Sting coming in and having only one match, he should put somebody over and make them a star. But if he only has one match and he does, it's a real fuck you to the fans. But you know who I think is the guy who he could beat, and I don't think people would mind. I think there'd be some interest. He's a big star, and people wouldn't cheer him.
Biggie Langston?
No, big star.
Russo.
And his name, he doesn't have Langston in his last name anymore. It's just Big E.
Langston.
Big E.
Langston.
No, just Big E.
Rusev.
No, it's Randy Orton.
Yeah. In many ways, Randy Orton, the modern day Sting.
I thought of watching Randy Orton wrestle Sting, though. Like, I already want to change the channel.
Randy Orton's a very good worker.
When he wants
Randy
to be.
Randy Orton makes me want to change the channel.
When Randy Orton wants to be, he definitely is. Like, I thought that stuff with the Shield last year, I thought he really seemed to step it up.
Yeah.
Oh, when he was a member of the Super Dicks?
Yeah. But you had to throw every three-man combination at the Shield. So let's get Evolution to go at the Shield, because we don't have any more three-man groups to throw at the Shield.
Yeah, that's the big thing about the Shield as a three-man group. They don't have anything after Evolution either. Like, that's almost where you have to start having them individual matches. There is no other three-man group to face.
That's why the Wyatt family needs another member, in my mind.
No, though, to me, the whole point to me
I think it
burned
that out already.
Well, probably, but...
The whole point of this Evolution Shield thing is Roman Reigns, right? That's the focal. So it's Roman Reigns
and Triple H.
And Hunter Little Penis at SummerSlam. And if you're going to have Guardian of the Galaxy leave, not do the job, you don't have Flair in because he can't remember his lines and who knows what else. He's getting ready for Legends House. That leaves Hunter and Orton. Well, that's what we had before, and that ain't Evolution. Evolution's about a movement in the business, and so Horseman Beatdown.
You have
Seth and Ambrose joining into Evolution, and they're all beaten down on Roman Reigns. That's to me the only way to go.
Well, that was my other. I was going to throw that out if we add anybody to Evolution, because obviously it looks like you need to.
It's addition by subtraction because. Dave, you don't have to reintroduce him back in, and even if you do, you can play that role where someone's coming off babyface out of that, because Dave probably won't be back for a few months, right?
Does that almost get Batista back in the good graces if he's kicked out and then comes back strong?
That answer is no.
Well, yeah, probably not, but does he even care? Probably not. Deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd much rather see Batista being a dickhead heel, though, because Batista trying to be a babyface is terrible.
Yeah.
Well, they always say the best gimmicks are your personality up 10 times, right? So that's Batista is perfect just to be a douchebag, right? And you got another movie role in they're remaking The Kickboxer.
Yeah.
I guess, and he's got a major role in that. So,
yeah,
I mean,
he and GSP are in that.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Huh. All right, Steven, you got a topic?
You know, that was me.
I gave you the topic.
You know, GSP calls
Steven, you got a good topic?
Oh,
that was my topic.
GSP calls Batista a shower bag, by the way.
Next.
Jeff, what's your topic?
So my topic is about the idea that a lot of wrestling fans at some point experience a lull where they get out of wrestling before they either get back into it and remain a lifelong fan, or they kind of just wrestling's done for them until something like, like The Rock or something coming back sort of captures their interest to come back temporarily. And so, like, I know I had a period where I was just not interested in wrestling. I sort of dropped off, before coming back. So I wanted to sort of talk to everyone about this idea of, like, did you have that lull period? When was it? Do you remember what caused it? And when you came back in after it, what was it that brought you back?
Well, I can answer this for Mo. Mo has his period every 28 days.
Heavy flow.
We're not sure what caused it.
I am.
I have a real answer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't have periods, so that's a good thing. I did not get back into wrestling full-fledged until the pipe bomb of CM Punk. And that was mostly because I was cheap and didn't have cable, so I never watched Raw. I just read the results the day after. So,
Cassidy, I see you reacting.
What? Oh, nothing. Involuntary reaction about CM Punk. My apologies.
He's coming back. I can't wait.
Oh, I don't care for that. He can stay away wherever he went, and that'd be fine with me.
I went up to Chicago, and I talked to him in his apartment, his studio apartment. It was nice. Saw AJ there.
When did you drop out of wrestling before the pipe bomb brought you back?
When did I drop out? Probably a few years back. Maybe 4 or 5 years back. So.
Was there any particular thing?
Because I told you I was cheap. I didn't have cable. So I never watched
it. Cheap or broke? Like poor? You're just poor.
I was poor. We're Hoosiers. I was living on a farm, milking cows every day. Ain't got no TV out here, so.
So you were just reading the results online.
Exactly.
Okay.
I was following the dirt cheats. Is that what they're still called nowadays? Is that
by idiots?
You never really lost interest. You just lost access.
Yeah, but I wasn't really paying attention because, like, it's hard to really stay up with it if you're just sitting there reading the results once a week.
Yeah, it is hard to care.
I mean, but then once that pipe bomb hit, yeah, I was like, huh. I like this Chicago-made guy. He's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'll say
excellent.
I never stopped watching ever, and all my friends stopped. Then you know, but I never did. I came really, really close. What's that?
Both of them.
Both of them did. Hmm. Both did. Well, there's really only one. But he stopped, and I kept going. And then no, but WrestleMania 20. I hated the product so much. I thought it was so awful. Like the go home show to WrestleMania 20 was the worst wrestling program I've ever seen. And if Chris Benoit doesn't win the title, like that's the only thing that kept me going was I was like, I hate everything, but I've been following this guy since Stampede Wrestling, since he was a kid. I've been watching him my whole life, you know, since I was a kid, and now he's the champion. So I can't stop watching. I think he was the only thing about the product that kept me watching it at that time. I was really close to stopping. I thought it was so awful. And then even right about the time we were starting this show, I wasn't really watching much. I wanted to talk wrestling because I had opinions. But to be honest with you,
you had opinions?
We're going to lift the veil a little bit here. I'd say the first year we ran this, I only watched maybe a third of the Raws that year. Most of the time I was just reading the results and making my opinions off that and acting like I had watched them. And reading the daily updates on news or whatever, and even probably a year leading into that, I was. So I never stopped following, and I was following through the dirt sheets and watching occasionally. But I was pretty disenchanted. And you know what helped is the pipe bomb. And then you know what? They fucked up right after the pipe bomb, and Addy shut the show down for about 4 months.
Yeah.
When they fucked up the booking of CM Punk coming out of that. So
yeah. And that's, I guess, will lead over to me then, because that's just a segue. But yeah, I never stopped.
But you have serious issue. You're demented when it comes to wrestling.
What are you talking about?
How many times have you watched WrestleMania 4?
I'm going to say 93,173.
That's the correct amount of times to watch that WrestleMania. Though.
That is the right amount of times he has watched it. He's not even.
And you own every VHS of Raw from 1997, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've got them all 1997 was the greatest.
When you first got the network, how many hours straight did you spend watching it?
Well, you know what? The great part of it when I got the network, and it wasn't even it was like, I think like the next week or 2 weeks later, I actually had the week off work because I had to take care of B. And so but that's all we did for the whole week was just like, we'd wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning and we'd watch the network. And there was a day that we remembered to shower and we just watched the network.
So it was an unusual day for you.
They did. I mean, no, I've got, I never stopped. I mean, we transitioned right into, I mean, you had the Hulkamania era when it was super popular. Like I was lucky enough that the first live event that I ever, saw was I saw Greg the Hammer Valentine win the Intercontinental title in when I lived in Ontario. And so it was just this immediately
like
I was like
half well, old, weren't you?
I'm like, will this happen every time? And of course it never did. But I mean I watched it all and then I moved to Calgary and we watched the Stampede Wrestling and then it when Bret Hart won you're getting ready to leave it and then Bret Hart wins the title. And it's like, oh, okay, well I can deal with local guy Bret Hart as the champion.
Exactly, I agree. I mean I know the product was shit then as a general rule, but my guy from my city was the champion, so I'm not going to leave. And it's the same thing, and I can't even say how important Stampede Wrestling – I mean, for most of the years I was watching wrestling, when Stampede Wrestling was on and WWE, or WWF at the time, Stampede Wrestling was my favorite easily. So yeah. I'd watch that, and they were back-to-back Saturday afternoons here, so I'd watch that. And then I'd watch the WWF because it was next, and I would enjoy it. But, but again, then seeing the guys that I had followed from their beginning of their careers have success and following them – that was another reason. If it wasn't for Stampede Wrestling, the passion wouldn't be the same, and I wouldn't have, and there's a good chance I would have left.
Well, and you go into, I mean, Bret Hart's a champion, but then it, just with the Stampede connection, then it starts to get shit. And I've been watching some; they're up to Raw 1994 on the network. I think just the summer of '94 now, and we didn't get Raw back then. We didn't get Raw till the Raw right after WrestleMania 12 was when Raw debuted on TSN, and so I've never seen any of those actual Raws. So I'm going back and watch. I'm familiar with the product from Superstars, but then you get to '94 and Owen turns heel. And so you're watching that, and then the Davey Boy Smith turns heel. So it's all these local guys that are keeping the product fresh for me. And then 1997 happens, which is the greatest year in wrestling. And then, the time that I came closest to watching, I as most said, watch. Yeah, when they fucked up the Punk turn or the pipe bomb, and it was Pedigree 1-2-3, I was like, fuck it, I'm done. Because they can't, and my expectations were too high.
Me leading into when The Rock came back, I was only watching. We were already doing the show, but like I said, I was barely watching. I was doing it because it was fun to talk wrestling, but not actually to watch it. Addy had to pound on me and convince me, and he had watched it and just again and again and again. Watch The Rock coming back. Watch that promo. Because up until that point, I was so disenchanted with the actual weekly show. And again, a lot of it is that 5 hours a week or 4 hours a week or whatever it is. It's just so much product, right? And TNA had fucked up too, because there was a point there where TNA in about 2004, 2005 was a great product. Amazing product, right? Scott D'Amore. And then they got rid of him for Vince Russo. And their product sucked. And what? then they bring in certain people. They bring in Christian. They bring in Kurt Angle. They bring in Booker T. And they fucked up all of them. Dudley Boyz. Like they bring in some good talents and people I know. And they've managed to make the nothing out of them. And then it's like, okay, now I don't even have an alternative to the WWE. Luckily, right now, I have the WWE, I have TNA, but I have for the network, which really helps, and ROH, which is great, and their pay-per-view with the IWGP last weekend was great in Toronto. This one in New York coming up this weekend, I can't wait for. It's going to be incredible. And at least they give me, at least they give me an alternative, right?
Yeah,
so that's true. My period where I dropped off was actually really similar to where Mo almost lost it. But I was gone by the time WrestleMania 20 happened.
It was so bad.
It was.
Yeah, like late 04, 05. I watched the ECW One Night Stand show. That was pretty much the only show I watched in its entirety from 2005. And then at that point I was in university, so I was just like completely off the radar with wrestling until actually it was the terrible ECW relaunch.
Oh yeah.
Was what ended up getting me back, because after a while it just turned into like better Superstars.
Yeah, yeah.
But its time slot happened to be, it was on Global at like midnight on Fridays or something. And that was usually the night when I got most of my drawing done for the week. And so when I would be working on getting pages done for the next week, I needed something to watch on TV, and I saw ECW, and I was like, I remember they did this. I've never seen it other than those One Night Stand shows. So I decided to check it out, and that was when Christian had the ECW belt, and like Regal
was
all
great.
The show, and Swagger and Sheamus were like brand new. And that show got me back into watching wrestling, because it called back to a bunch of stuff that I really liked. It was short. The booking was super simple, but like, it was still compelling because it was just, these two guys don't like each other because of reason X, and they're gonna fight about it. And it wasn't a lot of the really overwrought, we're trying to write and like an action drama series, but also there's wrestling. They just made it a wrestling show because no one creative cared about it. And that's what ended up bringing me back. And then shortly after I started watching it again in 09, that first or second Raw of 2010 when Bret Hart came back for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like however many years that had been.
Yeah.
That's what got me back watching Raw again, because I just wanted to see Bret Hart because he was my favorite when I was a kid. And then I was seeing enough other stuff that was intriguing to me that I ended up sticking around. Although now I watch like a third of Raw every week. And that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, you can fast forward through it in a half hour, Yeah, I, you know what? It's true that when ECW, it was, or sorry, SmackDown, when it had Michael Hayes in charge booking it, and they didn't try and do anything but just put on a simple wrestling show because it had no focus, that was really good stuff. And Edge was there, and you know, it was just, it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, for a while, SmackDown was my favorite of the WWE shows because they kind of didn't care about it.
Exactly.
But whoever was in charge cared about it.
Yeah, Michael Hayes. It was Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes cared about it. And you always got a really good, you know, that's when that mid-card, when they talk about how many times you're going to see Kofi and Dolph and Swagger and all those mid-card mix. But that was when it started, when you started to see them wrestle each other a billion times. But they're always great 20-minute matches.
Yeah. And you know what? Another thing that I know for me, and I think Steven can understand this, was CM Punk because he's close by in the area. I mean, for me, the fact that we have always had Canadian wrestlers who, not just Bret Hart, but since you have, you know, your Benoit, you had Jericho, you have Edge, Canadian guys, you have a little, you know, countrymen, you see them succeed. It's always a little, you know, that's always something that helps me gravitate towards that too. So, Cassidy.
Well, mine's a little different because I was about, when everyone was watching this in the early 90s, I was born in 91, so I started with my dad when I was really little, and I can remember watching Brett and Owen and Shawn and watched it kind of off and on with my dad, but I never have really had something that's made me completely stop watching. I've come close a couple times. My dad and I stopped watching it around early 2000s-ish, mainly because at that point in time wasn't PG, and you had Bret Hart who had left, and Owen Hart was gone, and I kind of picked it back up in 2005 and started watching, you know, on a weekly basis. And it was Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero, actually, at the time that interested me. I think it was around the time when Shawn was facing Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam there. And just seeing Shawn Michaels, a guy I'd seen when I was little and kind of reconnected with, kind of brought me back into it. And then after Shawn retired and Edge retired, Shawn retiring and Edge retiring kind of made me kind of stop watching as much. I'm kind of fast forwarding through stuff. And it was when they brought the Shield up to the main roster. Then I started getting more interested again, seen them live in Lethbridge, actually, and really enjoyed it. And I've always had a guy that has made me keep watching. And right now the guy is Seth Rollins, because I just find him, he's like another part of almost Shawn Michaels again, but in his own way. So never really had a chance to really stop, but...
You know, I have to say that you mentioned Eddie Guerrero. I mean, his death, I didn't almost stop. It hit me hard. But obviously the Benoit situation, like, it was like, I didn't watch for a few weeks after that, and I didn't really even follow, and then you start reading the dirt sheets, and it's like, I had this crisis of conscience. Like, do I keep on watching this? You have the deaths of people like Owen and Eddie, and now this. And this was somebody I admired, and I had nieces, and I sat them down. They were like, I don't know, like 8? I'm like, I sat them down, I showed them the Bret Hart DVD. The Wrestling with Shadows, the Bret Hart DVD that had come out, and the Chris Benoit one. And I'm like, these are people you can admire. These right here, this is part of our legacy in Calgary and part of our legacy in Alberta. And you know, and then he does that. And it's like...
Well, he's from Edmonton.
Well, but, you know, he does that. And it was a real, like I've had... Like, there was a point there where it's like, the amount of joy that I get watching this and those moments, like WrestleMania 20 at the end, you know, compared to the amount of pain that this is giving me from people I care about dying, and then this almost felt like a personal betrayal of what he did. Like, it was a really tough thing. Like, oh, yeah, that was also a real thing where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep watching.
Yeah, no, I can remember that happening, and at the time, I believe we had tickets to a Raw that was supposed to be coming around to Calgary, and they canceled it because of that, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was the right call on their behalf and stuff, but it definitely kind of sucks now that there's not really this big Canadian presence in their locker room anymore, and the ones that are there, they completely, you know, mistreat their talent. Like, I mean, Tyson Kidd and Natalya, and they let go of Harry Smith, which was a huge, I think, bad call on their part.
And then he went to Japan and became amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's ridiculous, but it definitely sucks not to have them around anymore. I really enjoyed watching Chris Benoit, but now, like, I don't have that DVD, and I almost bought it, but it's kind of one of those cases of you feel bad almost watching
it. I have it on my shelf, and it's like, can I get rid of it? Can I throw it out? I can't. Do I sell? It's actually worth a lot of money, which is, to me, even almost worse, like the idea of selling it for money, knowing that, 'cause it's so rare. But it's like, do I display it for people? Do I not? Like, what do I do with it? And I can tell you this, I've watched only on purpose, only watched two matches since that incident with him in it. Like, it's like, I just can't, still can't do it.
Which match?
One was the WrestleMania 20.
Okay.
And the Kurt Angle Royal Rumble match. And actually, I did watch one match with him versus Diamond Dallas Page versus Raven in a triple threat.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But that's it. It's like every time I'm like, Christ, I love these. These are fucking great. So much fun to watch, but I feel bad about watching them. Like, it gives me and it still does.
I compartmentalize the Benoit the wrestler and Benoit the maniac who killed some people. But I feel like that happening during the time when I was out of wrestling helped me be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it hit me as hard because he wasn't, you know, like when you're watching it every week, these characters become part of your life.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're seeing them
especially
every
week. Especially since I had watched him since he was 17 in Stampede Wrestling. Right.
Exactly. So you're really invested in them. And then when they do something like that, it's so, like, it's damaging to your psyche on a certain level. But being out of it, I think, really helped me with that because I'd already detached myself from wrestling in general and sort of all those characters. And so I can sort of go back and I can see the Chris Benoit that I watched when I was 15 years old, like, in WCW being awesome. And so I almost don't have that association with what he became. I just have, like, I know he did.
Well, and the latest results that they're showing on people with concussions and the violent activities of people, like former NFL players who have, and how many of them have beaten their wives or attacked family members or end up in jail and have brain damage to the same level as he had, shows me that, you know, I'd like to think it wasn't the guy I watched from all those years. And people say it wasn't, you know, that it was a different person. And I'd like to think it was the brain damage, and I'd like that to make it easier. And part of me logically started to think that, but that doesn't mean emotionally I'm there yet. And I don't know if I ever will be.
No, and I mean,
thanks, Jeff, for bringing up the most serious topic in the history of this comedy show we do called We Talk.
To be fair, I didn't bring up the Benoit topic.
Well, no, but it all kind of tied in, I guess. But
and the way I deal with Benoit now too is that the longer that it goes, the more the time has passed. And the fact that they cut him out of their shows, their DVDs and their, you know, their advertising and all the stuff is that it's almost been that, and now with the network, how he's on the network and I can go and I can watch him on demand and I haven't seen him in a while and they've kind of, you know, put him out as I said, I gotta go watch some things. I had to go online because this isn't on the network, but part of Owen Hart week, I went and I watched the Benoit Brett match from Nitro from Kansas City, you know, and it was just, I'm watching it and it's uncut and it's just such an awesome match. And like all through the match, I'm just like, the only thing I can think of is why did she text him so much? Because we could still be having those matches today.
No, this is the brain damages. I don't know that we could be, but
I don't think he would be. I don't think he'd be. He'd be like in a Dynamite Kid situation.
That's the thing, right? That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to lighten the mood there, but it fell flat.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's,
what's wrong with you people?
And that's the thing again. Also, part of me is like, I really like. Part of me, I mean, I don't. Do I want to see him in, a race? Do I want them to say how great he was? Do I want him at the Hall of Fame? A part of me does, and I feel guilty about that too, because a part of me doesn't.
I don't want him in the. I don't want him in the Hall of Fame because I think you can't separate.
Like, but that's it. You can't. And part of me does because I just he was some like good fucking God was he great. Like in the ring,
and I can watch him. I can watch him.
I watched some of his Wild Pegasus.
Yeah, I was watching one of the matches. I did on YouTube. I put up the blog for Owen Hart, and there was a match, a few matches he had, a couple tag matches, and one match against as Pegasus Kid, against Owen. Yeah, and I considered putting those into the blog. But yeah, I mean, he was, you know, his stuff was great over there, and that's why Dave Meltzer today, I think it was today or it was a couple days ago, in his newsletter for Wrestling Observer listed the best junior light heavyweights of all time. He listed Tiger Mask, he listed Dynamite Kid, you know, and he listed Liger, I think, and Benoit, and said those are the best junior heavyweights of all time.
Well, I mean, he was. That's the thing, right?
But the thing is, he should have stayed at that size and not bulked up to 230 pounds where he, you know. Well, I mean, there's a lot of issues that caused what happened. But all right, let's.
What's your topic, Cassidy? Yeah.
Hope it's fun.
Actually, it's more fun than that, actually.
Really? More fun than morbid death.
It's kind of just throwing a question out to everybody else, and I like to ask everybody this question because I find it interesting, but I know that WWE has their top 50 whatever wrestlers DVD. That was kind of a gong show of a list there, but I always like to ask people, who's your top five wrestlers of all time?
Top five.
Oh, shit.
Top five, top three.
Who's in your fave five?
Who?
Your Fantastic Four?
CM Punk for all top five spots. All three faces of Mick Foley are in my top five.
Seriously, anybody want to go here? So I need some time to think, and that could take me a while.
Oh, it's God, I can see the smoke.
I'll just do... here's my Mount Rushmore. How about that?
Let's do that.
Hogan.
What's Mount Rushmore?
You know, it's an American thing.
Oh.
Four faces? I can't remember. Four
good
faces.
Good American boy you are.
I know. I've never said
don't you work in a school? Aren't you like a set?
I work in a kindergarten where we only have to count to five.
Okay, all right,
so
fine.
I don't hear it.
Aren't you responsible for educating children?
Now, he says it's an American school. They have to count to five, but not in order.
Exactly. And that's by grade 12.
And they can use their fingers, so it's okay. Yeah. I go Hogan, Austin, McMahon, and then one other face, whoever you want to throw.
It's interesting, actually, CM Punk.
I was going to say The Rock.
The thing is, you're going less for wrestling. You're going more for entertainment, especially if you're putting McMahon in there.
But that's... But think about, I've mentioned on this show before, I grew up during the Attitude Era. I was always WWE guy. So that's what I mean, there was some crappy wrestling back then. I cared about the storylines more than the wrestling. Now I'm starting to watch the wrestling more, which is probably backwards, but yeah.
That's what I did too, though. I got pulled in.
Never paid attention to the wrestling back then. I mean, I didn't care about the wrestling. I wanted to see tits saying Stone Cold whip ass. I mean, that's so.
That's why I put Mr. McMahon in there. Yeah.
That's why I put McMahon in there.
For the tits.
So wasn't Biggie Langston like your number one then, if that's your category?
Well, Cesaro's got some pretty good nipples, so he might have to go up there pretty soon. Those things are like quarters.
You cut diamonds on them, is what you're telling me?
Exactly.
Nice thing he uses them in vending machines.
This is at least
interesting.
Stephen
Ashamy.
Am I getting it right? Ashamy?
Ashamy.
I want to get it right for your last appearance ever on the show.
Oh.
The Diamond Cutter. That's what we'll call it.
It's better to call me AJ.
It's true.
Tyler.
Skipping around. All right. Top five. Top
at least he's
five.
Never called you a faggot.
Well, that's true. I feel better. I'll sleep better knowing that.
To his face.
And my Pacers won. Woohoo!
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been following on Twitter. It's pretty awesome to watch a game that way.
You're welcome.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Well, you are poor. You have a computer. I'm surprised, but still no TV, right?
I just give blood for the network.
All right. Is somebody else go?
Top five. I have to go with Steve Austin. Is got to be on the list. I got to put Steve Austin. I got to put Hulk Hogan on the list. This is tough because then I got to put Bret Hart on the list. I got to put Owen Hart on the list. And then I'm going to go with it's tough. Now it's ironic because these two guys hate each other, and so I'm going to give six. I can't decide between Shawn Michaels and The Rock.
What about Randy Savage?
Yeah, Randy Savage is seven.
Wow. Because I thought Randy
Savage. So here's my top one. Here's my top 100.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Bret Hart's number one for me. And then I'd say Steve Austin. After that, it starts to get hard. Kenta Kobashi has to be on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, I watched like a 40-disc set of every Triple Crown defense from All Japan.
Oh, here. And here, I thought you were a geek.
And he has like, oh, my God, he's so good. So he's got to go on there. Shawn Michaels has to go on that list as well. And Kobashi goes on. I think Misawa has to go on as well.
Yeah.
Because those guys are just so
intertwined.
Unfairly good.
Yeah. I got to go Owen Hart and Bret Hart definitely are on my list. Bret Hart would be my number one. Those two are definitely on the list, as is the Dynamite Kid. I can't not have the Dynamite Kid in there. He's just like, you know, I got to have Eddie in there. So you got Eddie Guerrero. I think that's all I'm going to, because after that, I mean,
I understand on Dixie Carter's, I was going to say, I understand on Dixie Carter's list is, Kenta Kobashi.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to put Rick Rude in there. I love Rick Rude. Rick Rude. So I have him as my number five. I mean, I just think he was awesome. Cassie, we need yours, but also I'm just wondering, do you want to call CM Punk anything? Does it start with a C?
Cool.
No, I do not want to call CM Punk anything, although...
Tell us what you really think about it. You have censored yourself really good. You said you weren't going to.
You have.
I don't want all your listeners to hate me after this. This is why I censor
myself. Hate
me. Yeah, they'll be so busy hating me.
No.
Mostly because he ate their pizza.
I love pizza.
Definitely those two would be on my most disliked list in wrestling, the two of them. But as for my favorites, some of mine are a little bit newer because, like I say, I only watched sporadically as a kid in the Attitude Era kind of thing. But I've gone back and watched a lot. But I definitely have to say Shawn Michaels in there as well. Owen Hart, of course, probably my favorite of all time. He has to be in that spot. But Eddie Guerrero, because, you know, he's one of the guys that brought me back into it. And I'm going to put one of my new favorites in there with Seth Rollins, because I see him being big in the future. And I really hope they don't completely screw him up. But he's definitely, I think, a star in my books. And as for someone else, I'm going to go with Chris Jericho as well. Another Canadian.
Another guy was almost on my list.
There you go.
I don't even know. As much as I love CM Punk, I don't know if he can make my top 10, because I feel like there's...
Let's do this. Let's go top five, guys. Let's do this again, but go top five performers active right now.
Top five somebody, active.
Who
right
wants
now.
To go first?
Do we, okay. Well, if I don't have to put them in order, I could probably name you. I mean,
top five like, active
I mean,
right
yeah,
now.
I'm with Gasly on there. Seth Rollins is a guy I've always liked. Even watching, I've always sort of picked out throughout the years like a mid card guy at the time that I really liked and wanted to. I did that with Edge. You know, I was like, I'm watching Edge. I really like Edge. I hope he can do well. And then you watch him get to the top, right? And you know, Mr. Perfect was a guy you could kind of pick out of that mid card and watch him go on the rise. And there was always those type guys. Steve Austin was another guy in WCW, Stunning Steve, and the Hollywood Blondes and stuff. But Seth Rollins to me fits all of that mold, and that he's a guy that I can watch, hopefully, you know, rise up. But I mean, there's Rollins, Cesaro is one of my favorites. I mean, you got to say Daniel Bryan still in there. I don't even know if I could pick 10, but I really like the Usos.
Yes,
as an act as well. I mean, if I can just make them one, I really like the Usos. I like Jack Swagger. I like as a team that unfortunately they're gonna break up are the Rhodes Boys. As a team, just like I like the Real Americans, so I had them in there. But I like as an underrated guy. I enjoy Damian Sandow. I'm interested what they're gonna possibly do. I don't know what this deal is. I mean, I'm sure they'll drop it in 2 weeks, but at least got my interest perked with Sandow as if I have to put 10 guys out there that I'm gonna say. And I'm trying to think of I see now I'm struggling to think. I mean, I like the Shield as an act. I like the Wyatts as an act. I like Bray Wyatt in general. I like I'm not so much a Rowan, but Harper is great.
I think Harper's awesome. Yeah,
you know, and so you know, to do an Usos versus those two feud, I'm okay with the Wyatt family getting the tag belts. And that's probably, I mean, if we're going to go down to NXT, I'm a fan of Sami Zayn, and I'm interested in seeing this Bo Leave character.
That's Addy's top five. There we go.
That's right. That's Addy, well, you five. Said 10. You
no,
said
I didn't.
Ten.
I said five.
He said five.
And you gave more like 40, but, okay.
Every single superstar on the roster.
Jesus Christ. I love that the guy that he can't count, and he's complaining about it. And he works in the finance industry. So that's what's really scary.
I do. I'm richer than I think.
Yeah, okay. Let's go up Steven and then Jeff.
No, go ahead, Jeff, because I've been cutting over everybody,
okay,
so I apologize.
Jeff. Fuck you, Steven.
See, I'm a nice Hoosier. I'm a nice Hoosier.
Hiroshi Tanahashi, number one. That guy, everything he touches is gold. I'm really liking Cesaro's stuff lately a lot. I kind of don't like that they stopped him from turning babyface, but his matches are still always great. The Shield, just sort of as a unit, been really enjoying. Going back to New Japan, Nakamura has been fantastic. And his character is just so great that I don't understand a word he says, but I just totally get it. And then probably Brian, as much as the creative around him is so bad. But then he gets in the ring, and everything is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Steven.
Oh, me?
No, the other Steven.
I thought he tried a Tyler. A Jamie. Steven Tyler, yes.
Black.
I know everybody hates him, but I enjoy Sheamus' work. I don't care what anybody says anymore.
Sheamus the wrestler is fantastic. Sheamus talks is terrifying.
But I think every once in a while he puts a good personality out there, and that for me is enough, you know, whatever. But I know everybody says he should go heel and blah, 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 but if he's in the same spot, it's not going to matter. So, that's my whole rant on there, but yeah.
Irish stories. Those are fun.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan's up there. you know, they're finally doing something with Bad News Barrett, so that's a good thing. I don't know if he'll go anywhere, but it's better than seeing him go against The Miz, you know. Cesaro, obviously. Cesaro, man. Like, at the, you know, being at WrestleMania and seeing the reaction he was getting, the babyface turn will be there soon enough. I think that's when you bring Brock back as well. You just have him take out Cesaro. There you go. That's easy babyface, you know, spot right there. So, but yeah, those are, that's enough for
skin.
What?
Foreskin. You know what? Where is The Miz on everybody's list, by the way?
The who?
Well, you just said foreskin.
Can we have negative numbers on the list? Because I'll put The Miz down there.
The Miz is on my top five cocksucking motherfuck list.
Yes.
He's all five.
Generated, like, I just want to change the channel. As soon, like, if I see a Miz TV segment, it's just, I'm fast forwarding it or I'm changing the channel. I don't want him to exist anymore.
Cassidy.
I met The Miz.
Yeah.
Why?
Did you get herpes just by contact?
No, I loved it. It was the
best. No, he already had herpes.
I gave it to The Miz.
Cassidy, please, quick.
Who have in turn gave it to Maurice?
Oh, gosh.
What is the question again? Have you ever had herpes?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. They didn't ask me at my school, so I'm good.
Oh, goodness.
You gave them to yourself.
That's all I'm trying to ask myself.
That's where selfie came from.
I'm sorry, Cassidy, please.
Cassidy, please start talking.
Everybody shut up. We have somebody important talking.
Mine would have to be, I don't know, the Shield as a group, and then I like, you know, Rollins' individual matches as well, because I watched him in a lot of his ROH stuff, so he's definitely on mine. Cesaro, I think he's a great all-around kind of guy. That's, you know, the guys I tend to like tend to be the all-around guys, the guys who can wrestle and talk at the same time and be entertaining, kind of the total package kind of people, and I think he has a pretty good future ahead of him. Throwing one of the divas on the list, definitely Natalia in mine. I love watching her wrestle. I wish they did more with the divas division, but she's definitely on my list of favorites. The Usos would have to be up there as a tag team. Probably one of the best actual tag teams they have, which I guess isn't saying much, but they're really good as a team. And I don't know if I could really add anyone else that really comes to mind right away, but Dean Ambrose always makes me laugh too. I enjoy his crazy moments on there too.
All right, I'm gonna tell you, I like I love that. Sami Zayn on there. Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
I think I can count Paul Heyman. Then you go three guys from ROH. Well, I mean, I really like AJ Styles, so I'll give him an honorable mention. But Adam Cole, the ROH world champion right now, trust me, he is going to be a WrestleMania main eventer. Like, this guy, much more than NXT, ROH is where the guys who come on who become big stars in WWE come from, and he is the best talent to ever come through there, including Cesaro, including CM Punk, including, like, he's something. He's 21. He's amazing.
So you think that he is going to be a star?
I do. Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Mr. Russo. So Adam Cole, the Briscoes, Briscoe Brothers are incredible. Such a great act. Great wrestlers.
Yeah, I saw their body shop when I was down in Florida.
Not them. The other Briscoes, the ones in ROH. And my favorite wrestler right now is Kevin Steen. I love Kevin Steen. I love a fat guy who doesn't give a fuck but can wrestle and talk. And it looks like strong rumors. It looks like, I mean, WWE's latest tryout, they'll be sending out the letters on who they're accepting soon. Some of the guys who were from the independents. Like a guy like Roderick Strong, I think he's probably one of the top five. I mean, he might be top five workers in the world, but he doesn't have the personality, but looking like Kevin Steen, based on how much they love how well he talked, it's a good chance that he's going to be going to the WWE, and I'll be curious to see what they can do with him because he's totally different than anybody they have. The closest body type would be, or look wise would be Bray Wyatt, right? But another Canadian guy, so I'd like to see him succeed, even if he is from Quebec.
Steen's doing an independent shot in Edmonton, I think, next month or the month after.
Iron Sheik is here in a week. Iron Sheik's going to be here in Calgary next week.
I'm
going to be going.
Sheiky baby.
Picture take with Sheiky baby for the meet and greet, and then I'll leave. I won't watch the show.
You're going to watch Chucky?
No, I don't care about PWA, I'm afraid, but I'll watch that. One other question. Yeah, let's just go around the room. Everybody, starting with you, Addy. Bo Dallas, Bo leave. Does he make it or not?
Yes, he makes it.
Because most people are saying, oh, he was great in NXT, but I don't really know that this will translate, or I don't see it, and they're expecting another Adam Rose. You think he'll make it?
I think that Bo Dallas will make it. I don't know that Bo Leave will be a long-standing, long-term thing, perhaps, but he's a natural smarmy heel.
Yeah, but doesn't that make him another Miz?
No, but
he's a better
worker.
He looks tougher.
And he's
24.
It's not a video podcast, but I got a glass here of water that looks tougher than The Miz. It's a situation that, though, he's got the talent, yes, but he also is a smarmy guy without trying. Like, I have a feeling that this is him. Again, we talk about personality jacked.
Remember when he's following us around every time we turned around?
Royal Rumble? When we turned around just before he debuted in the Royal Rumble, and I was watching NXT at the time because
we were doing
a meet and greet with
a bunch of the wrestlers. We went to this thing, and then there's these panels which we put up on the side.
Bo Dallas was walking around, and I turned around, hey, it's Bo Dallas, and he was so happy we knew who he was. And then we saw him like 8 other times because I think he was following us.
Because we're the only ones who knew who he was.
We're the only people who knew who Bo Dallas was.
Then he showed up because he had won the NXT tournament to get in the Royal Rumble. He shows up and we're the only ones who go, hey, it's Bo Dallas. 15,000 people,
yes.
Nobody. All right. Jeff. Bo Dallas, Bo Leave. Do you Bo Leave?
The problem is that his gimmick is so much about creative execution, and I don't trust that at all.
Good point.
But I think if they handle him the same way they did on NXT, I think he'll succeed. But I don't trust them to handle him the same way they did on NXT because they've already botched Emma, they're botching Adam Rose, they're kind of doing okay with Rusev, but
he's the least talented of all of them.
And
that Putin stuff I find really pretty goddamn. Like, that's pretty low. Really,
the Putin stuff is so
really
just—it's really WWE being like, "Hey guys, we read the news sometimes."
Yeah, the thing I'll say about Adam Rose and about who else did you bring? Emma. Is that those are their NXT?
The problem
characters.
With Emma, problem with Emma, I think, is her entrance. She gets the bubbles where everyone does a dance, is that they have a wide shot from her. From that angle, she looks ridiculous. On NXT, the reason she succeeded was because it was a tight shot and there was much room around her, and therefore it kind of made her seem bigger than life, and it was entertaining. If they tightened up on her and made some sort of a tighter shot and made some sort of way that she came out and looked like a smaller environment doing her stuff, I think people would get her quirkiness better.
The quirkiness evolved with Emma.
Showing her quirkiness, they're making her girl Santino.
That hurts.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
Because boy Santino is already awful.
Yeah.
You don't need
But
two
you know,
of
you
them.
See them walking nice down the street together and you think they're both tens.
Yeah. And it's a pink cobra.
Fuck off. Yeah.
A pink cobra.
Yeah. Here's a penis I can
When does that go on for sale?
It's already for sale.
Oh, is it? I'm getting it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You tie it around your waist
penis
and tell people
puppet.
That. Anyways,
I have a pink cobra.
Steven, what do you think? Do you believe?
I don't know. Why'd they give up last year on him?
Because their booking
they brought him back,
and therefore he didn't get over.
Well, and
he wasn't ready yet. He didn't have a character.
They were trying to make legit baby face at that point, and he was smarmy. It didn't work.
But the other thing was that he was Bo Dallas, generic guy.
He was like, right, he was straight out of creator wrestler on,
Well, as long as, UK 14. And like, I mean, I'll just hold judgment until I actually see it. Because, you know, I've seen him in NXT, and obviously we see some tweaks here and there, you know, to the characters once they hit the main stage. And that's kind of why I didn't watch NXT when it was available, because I'm like, I just want to see how they're going to handle the main roster. Now, whether that's, you know, a good thing or bad thing, you know, that's another debate. But, you know, I watch NXT now and just to see what guys are doing down there. But it seems like they do try to tweak them a little bit, which, you know, like with Rusev, they are tweaking him a little bit to try to give him something. But I still even I think you guys have mentioned it and I've mentioned a lot. I feel like he's too old school of a character to really get, you know, a shot. Like,
the tweak they made to Rusev, though, is that in NXT he beat up Mexicans, and now on the main roster he beats up black people. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Kind of a lot.
I will hold judgment on Bo Dallas. I'll be nice and say I'll hold judgment.
Cassidy,
on him.
Are you a believer?
I'm gonna say, in terms of his success, not with this gimmick, but I think he has the potential to be successful. I just don't buy into this believe stuff. I think he has the potential to be a successful guy, but I think this gimmick that they're kind of giving him right now is gonna fizzle out fast.
I love the way the gimmick runs on NXT, though, where he's the heel that is just so thoroughly convinced that he's a baby face.
Yes.
I love that so much.
It's the three eyes, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's great.
I think he's very entertaining. Yeah. I think his video, his new video that they've debuted, it's awesome. So his Titantron is great. I wouldn't say he's unbelievable, but I do believe. I think he gets to the level of about Sheamus. I think he's successful. He's got the bloodline.
I don't think he can get to Sheamus' level because he's just not that good in the ring. He's bow ring.
But I think they can, again, if they use that to their advantage, and that's where you said the creative part comes in, but at least that part of the creative will largely fall on the agents, which is
But we'll also see. I mean,
better.
Well, they seem to know what
they're advertised doing. He'll be on SmackDown, which means they've advertised he'll be on SmackDown. Means there's a chance he'll be on Raw. If he's not on Raw, it's possible it's because they're in England and they're not sure the reaction. But they've advertised he'll be on this week's SmackDown. The thing about him is he? The thing about him is that's going to be interesting is who he goes against. Then we'll know what they think of him. And if he goes against Santino, which wouldn't surprise me, then we know how high they think they'll get. If he goes in against, you know, Sheamus, then we'll have a different idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, I think you could also have him beat Zack Ryder in his debut.
And probably still achieve
and move
the same
him up,
thing.
Right?
Maybe.
Who's Zack Ryder again?
Zack Ryder is
the bunny.
Who's Zack Ryder again?
He's the bunny.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, should we answer our mailbag segment?
Really?
Uh-oh.
We're 2 hours in.
Yeah. All right, we can save the mailbag.
Save the mail,
here,
unless
so
everybody else wants to keep going.
It's the only thing we had left.
How many
That's
do
all
we,
I was asking.
What do we got?
There's three questions, but so maybe
do
we'll
the mailbag.
You guys want to do it?
Bring on the
What's
mailbag.
What's the votes? You three vote. Me and Addy abstain.
Yeah.
I'm game for mailbag.
Yeah, I'm fine either way.
I'll say yeah, right. Sure. With that.
All right, leave it to the Edmonton guy to be wishy-washy.
I don't care if we mailbag or not.
Let's start with the first question. And do we think that the backlash of Batista's return will have an impact on WWE bringing back older former stars?
If they book them the wrong way, that's pretty much my whole thinking with Batista is people are booing more the booking of Batista than the guy. But
I think there's something to that. I agree.
I mean, at the Royal Rumble, if he hadn't won it, I don't know if he would have got it, you know, as booed as much.
It's that they were putting him in the spot they wanted Daniel Bryan in. That's why they were booing him.
Exactly. Before. I mean, and then granted, he did throw, I mean, he did have some bad matches because he was winded within 5 minutes. So if you want to boo that part, sure, go for it. But I really do think that, I mean, he was kind of doomed from the start. So, but it won't hurt anybody coming up because, I mean, The Rock got a huge ovation at WrestleMania.
Kurt Angle would get a massive reaction, so no.
Oh, Kurt Angle would get yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll affect their bringing back older stars until they finally commit to developing new stars. Like, they're just going to keep bringing back old guys until they finally run out of them and decide, okay, now we have to make the young guys into something.
So WrestleMania,
you don't have anything to rely on anymore.
50. Yeah, well, that's the problem. Is
hey,
that
they want
you get
Jericho
these
back.
Guys
they
like
tried. It's just too busy.
Yeah, they tried to get Jericho back. I mean, they're going to keep trying to get CM Punk back, right? Mm-hmm. So it's
well, CM
just going to be
back
one
is
of those.
A very different thing than Jericho and especially Batista.
No, but it's them bringing back and reaching out to older stars. I mean, we heard that there's the potential still for Stone Cold to come back at WrestleMania to fight Brock Lesnar. I mean, so there's a guy. Okay, now there's your WrestleMania old star main event return guy.
And you know what? That would draw.
And Sting. Yeah, it would. That's exactly. Like, yeah. And then you got Sting. And now, okay, so now you got, you're good for another year.
Goldberg, you know.
Of these. Cause it,
yeah. Goldberg. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is. And then eventually John Cena
will
be
the old star.
If Goldberg
in against Batista next year's WrestleMania, people would be interested. I guarantee it.
Oh, the man they call B would be all over that. He'd probably never leave my house.
So you really don't want that.
So, yeah, let's go. Let's vote against that match. But, all right. Well, how about you, Cassidy? Did you answer this already? No.
No, I think they're always going to try to bring back those older stars for kind of the nostalgia moment. And there's some I think people would genuinely love to see back, like Stone Cold, for example, or Chris Jericho. But they just need to, I think, be more careful with how they bring them in. I think Batista coming back was very much wrong timing.
So is there anybody that you don't want them to bring back, and maybe there's a certain word you want to call that person?
No, I do not want to see CM Punk back.
Because he's a what?
You said see CM Punk.
That was almost it. That was close. You're getting close.
You sure you don't want to see CM Punk? You sure if you ever met him, you don't want to say see you next Tuesday?
No, I don't. I don't think anyone really wants me to meet CM Punk.
I do.
I want to tape it.
That'll be our video blog.
Might want to have a video camera handy on that one, but no, I do not want to see CM Sucks back anytime soon.
My Breakfast with Punky.
All right, what's the next question? I think.
With one guy we tried to actually, we were going to get six of us on the panel, but this guy decided to remain anonymous. So this question does come from Davey Davey. Mm-hmm. He wants to.
I thought he was anonymous.
Well, he doesn't want
his voice to remain anonymous.
Oh.
He wants to be the voiceless of the voice. He wants to know how we would, what we would do with Taker now.
Like, what I'd do put we, him in the Hall of Fame next year.
And be done with it, eh?
This is when we bring up the old horse thing. Take him outside and gold old yeller on him.
Well, but
he's
already dead.
He's done.
He's already dead. He's the dead man.
The thing is, well, I think it's pretty obvious that, yeah, you watch him and yes, okay, he didn't have the practice matches or whatever he didn't have the choreography with Lesnar.
Yeah.
He's hurting in a way that it's like, I don't know, he can never even have one more good match. So if you're going to use him in any way in a match, it should be a tag match. Try and give the rub to somebody else in a tag match. That's what I would do.
What? I was going to say on this show, I think I told Addy, the Taker Brock match was what I thought it would be. A slow, plodding match. I mean, I don't know what people were expecting out of that. I mean, really. But anyways, that's a whole other topic. But yeah, I'd say throw him in the Hall of Fame. Move on. Unfortunately, I love Taker, but it's his time's done.
Can you put Taker out on a high at, again, network
has
time.
To be a mania.
Is there
has
another
to be a mania's last?
But
well,
see, that's
has
the thing.
To be a mania.
No, but does it have to be a mania now that he's lost? Yes. Now that he's lost, you can throw that mania thing. So why can't you have it at?
I would throw it Survivor Series because that's where he debuted. So that'd be full circle.
But you give him a win to end it, and I mean, I don't know. I think that might be too long. And who do you give the right? And if he's going in at the Hall of Fame, I mean, they did that with Flair, right, where he wrestled and went into the Hall of Fame. But that's still the only guy they've ever done that with.
But it had to be a year. Like, I'd wait till the next year. You don't do it right away. You'd have to at least give it a year for me. But.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Thoughts on Taker?
He goes in the Hall of Fame eventually, but don't bring him back to wrestle again.
Yeah. Cassidy?
You were pissed about him losing.
Same. I was, because I don't think, and I still don't think he should have lost to Brock Lesnar. I just think poor choice, and I mean, he has to retire at some point because he's obviously hurting, and I'd hate to see anything bad happen to him in the ring, obviously. But I think I wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame immediately next year, but coming up soon, I think would be a good time for that. But yeah, I completely disagree with who he lost to. I just wrong guy.
Well, you know? But the problem with that, with it being the wrong guy, is that at the point they figured out that he needed to lose because he was never going to be able to have another match at his level, it was too late.
Exactly.
He was going over Brock, right?
If he was going to lose, he should have. I've kind of thrown out the idea before, have him leave in that match with Shawn Michaels way back when, one of those matches, you know?
No, that doesn't do any good either. I mean, Brock Lesnar's a better choice. It should have been Orton. Because Shawn Michaels wasn't going to be around for long. Whereas for Brock Lesnar, ideally, you can use the fact that he beat the streak and the way Heyman talks about it to make money off people facing him now for the next several years.
Exactly. If you're going to end it, I would have ended it with Orton.
I think if you're looking at it from an emotional standpoint, Brock Lesnar, no. Shawn Michaels, yeah. If you're looking at it from a financial standpoint, Brock Lesnar, yes. Shawn Michaels, no.
The thing is that Brock is really becoming the new Taker. I mean, he's here a little bit more often, but Taker,
which is why he better not lose to Cesaro or anybody soon. He's got to keep that going for a while, so it means something when he loses again.
I just mean,
and he's got to stop the old guy tour. You know, he was facing Triple H, and he's facing, Taker and Cena.
I mean, at this point, they're running out of old guys for Brock to beat up anyway. So I don't think he'll be on the tour for much longer.
So I was going to say, they're talking Steve Austin. My other pick that I would put out there for Lesnar to beat up is Tony Atlas.
You just want to see somebody beat him.
That just seems like it'd be sad.
I want Hacksaw to do that.
I think Hacksaw might.
I want Rusev to do it.
Dugan?
Dugan.
I just realized when we all gave out, we're five people, we gave out our top five wrestlers of all time. Not one of us mentioned Ric Flair.
No.
I almost thought about putting Flair on there, but I think he'd be top 10.
Not one of us mentioned Ricky Steamboat either. That actually kind of surprises me.
Steamboat retired like the year after I started watching wrestling. So for me, Steamboat was never
Steamboat would be up there with Rude.
But I never watched that much Steamboat. And Flair because I grew up on WWF, I wasn't super aware of Ric Flair until he was already old and losing a step. And then I went and saw the old stuff, but I didn't have the emotional attachment to him. I could just look at him and be like, yeah, he was really good in the 80s. And then I'd see his stuff in like WCW in the mid late 90s, and he's just there. And that was the Flair that I grew up with. So I recognize how great he was, but I also don't have a really strong emotional attachment to him.
And that's largely, I think, given for at least, four-fifths of the panel, the fact that we're Albertans and Ric Flair was not an NWA champion that toured the Stampede tour, like even going back, I mean, before our time, but like Harley did and like all the NWA champions before, Flair just never came up here. So we didn't grow up with
Flair. Wrestled what, Bockwinkel and Winnipeg once? I mean, that was, you know, a rare Western Canada appearance, for instance, right? Like, didn't happen often.
Yeah.
All right, you got one last question there, right?
No, that's right. Yeah, my last question actually comes from the Bannable, and it was just because I think he sent it. He must have sent it last week, and I didn't see it, and I just wrote it down anyway because it does have an. And I figured we'd still ask it because Cassidy was on, and it has to relate probably more to Owen Hart week. But just who is our all time favorite Owen Hart opponent?
Oh Christ.
Well, I don't think they ever wrestled.
Brett. I'll go with Brett.
In many ways, Brett thought he was Christ in the mid-90s.
He was a 4 out of 10, though.
Yeah.
That's all obvious answer, but I'm going to throw Liger.
Liger, I mean, Liger? Yeah, they had so many great matches.
I really liked his early 90s. New Japan stuff he did with Liger.
Yeah, when he first faced him before he was Liger, and then a series of matches afterwards. And
yeah, when he was Kichi Yamada before he was Liger.
Yeah, Kichi,
yeah.
Yeah,
and in the blog of his rare matches. Yeah, so I'd agree. But I mean, the thing is, if you look at his best match, I think it's got to be Mania 10. If you look at his second best match, it's probably SummerSlam. And he had a bunch of other great matches, but I mean, to put somebody in other than Brett is really hard for me.
It is, and without going on the so I mean to say that Bret Hart is there, I'm going to go with Davey Boy Smith.
The guy I thought Davey Boy Smith. My runner up might be Muck and Singh.
Yeah. For that match on Mania when he was blasting Booger.
Yes, but I mean here in Calgary, that was I think Muck and Singh and Lethal Larry Cameron were probably his two kind of most significant feuds at the time. So,
and Cassidy,
yeah, it's hard to put anybody in the number one spot, but Brett, just because the matches were such classics, but. I've seen a couple matches of theirs, but I wish the two of them would have wrestled more. Him and Shawn Michaels, when they had the couple matches, and then they were supposed to have matches together just after Brett left and injuries came into play there. But I would have loved to see more of a feud between the two of them, because the couple matches they did have didn't really give you the full, like the one match where Shawn Michaels passed out in the match and... But before that, I mean, they like two very similar styles, and I think I would have loved to see more of that, and probably right up there with Brett as an opponent. I loved his matches with Davey and his matches against Edge when Edge was really
young. I totally agree with you that him and Sean, you know, they could have given us way better than they did, just circumstances. But you know who else a feud I really enjoyed with him was, surprisingly, was the Ken Shamrock feud. I really like that. I like the work in that match. Mm-hmm. And I liked Ken Shamrock couldn't cut a promo, and Owen would come out every time he saved the segment on the mic. And then Shamrock had obviously physical attributes and some background, but Owen could really use that to carry him to a really good, a surprisingly good wrestling match. So I love their dungeon match too. So
the dungeon match,
tapping out with Shamrock's arm. That was amazing.
Yeah,
that was good stuff.
But that Shawn Michaels Enziguri is when he won his first Slammy.
Oh, wow. Love
this
that.
Is true.
All right. Now, are we OUT? Let's get the hell out of here. Everybody do their plugs, starting with Addy, then Jeff, then Steven, then Cassidy, because we really got to go.
Then Addy? Okay, but Addy will
end. Addy will end. So starting with Jeff, then Steven, then Cassidy.
Then who?
I don't know.
Okay, Heat is at heat.rentathugcomics.com. You can follow me on Twitter at heatcomic. You can also get the link to the comic and all the other comic work I'm doing from my Twitter. Awesome. That's it. Now someone else talks.
Okay.
Oh, that's me. Wasn't sure.
Okay, Steven.
My shameless plug is thank you for having me on. This has been really fun. And you can follow me at StephenA1181 and enjoy wrestling.
All right.
Buy the network. Well, except for you guys.
Yeah. My, I guess, couple plugs would be, you know, you can obviously follow me on Twitter at the Owen Hart fan. You can check out my websites, www.inourhearts.com and believeinrollins.com.
Believe.
And yeah, that's about it for me. Come and enjoy any wrestling talk. I always like to talk to people, except about Brock Lesnar and CM Punk. But other than that, go ahead and follow me.
What about Daniel Bryan?
Daniel Bryan, I've kind of warmed up to a little bit. I can deal with that. But yeah, he's all right in my books now. I've kind of been more pleased with that lately.
Now that he's hurt.
No.
Oh.
No.
All right. Well, then, now we can also talk about WeTalkWrestling.com. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. And you can always send us an email to ask us a question, @WeTalkWrestling.com. So that's it, Amo. All right. So then that's going to do it for another week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, Addy. The other guy's gone?
Yeah, it looks that way.
Yeah. So what do you think of those fucking losers? How'd they do?
I told you. Didn't I tell you?
Jesus.